From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As he continues this series of studies in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message entitled, Salvation Sealed and Signified Through Faith. In this message, Dr. Cairns is focusing upon Israel's faith in keeping the Passover and passing through the Red Sea. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. Before he comes, we invite your attention to this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Love the Church. The text is found in Psalm 102, verses 13 and 14. Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favor her, yea, the set time is come. For thy servants take pleasure in her stones, and favor the dust thereof. Yes, our prayers for the church will be heard. The set time is come. We love the prayer meeting and the Sunday school and all the services of the Lord's house. We are bound in heart to all the people of God and can truly say, There's not a lamb in all thy flock I would disdain to feed. There's not a foe before whose face I'd fear thy cause to plead. If this is the general feeling, we shall soon enjoy times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. Our assemblies will be filled, saints will be revived, and sinners will be converted. This can only come of the Lord's mercy, but it will come, and we are called upon to expect it. The time, the set time, is come. Let us bestir ourselves. Let us love every stone of our Zion, even though it may be fallen down. Let us treasure up the least truth, the least ordinance, the least believer, even though some may despise them as only so much dust. When we favor Zion, God is about to favor her. When we take pleasure in the Lord's work, the Lord Himself will take pleasure in it.
With power and sound mind, with love beyond failing kind, O
Among the great classics of Christian literature, A.W. Tozer's The Pursuit of God is remarkable for its impact on the lives of countless believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, the product of a lifelong passion for knowing God in an intimate, soul-refreshing relationship. This small volume exposes the roadblocks that keep us from fully knowing God, reveals our responsibility of the pursuit, and ultimately leads us into the very presence of God Himself. Some of the chapter titles include Following Hard After God, Restoring the Creator-Creature Relation, and The Sacrament of Living. As you read and study Tozer's penetrating insights, you will learn the meaning of Paul's words in Philippians 3, verse 10, that I may know Him. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer complete reprints of this timeless devotional help free of charge. For your copy of The Pursuit of God, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your free copy of The Pursuit of God, and we'll be glad to provide it. This message entitled Salvation Signified and Sealed Through Faith, Dr. Cairns takes his text from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 28 and 29, verses which speak of two acts of faith on the part of Moses and the children of Israel. First, they kept the Passover, a reminder that they had been saved from the death angel by the sprinkling of blood. Then they passed through the Red Sea, a symbol of God's deliverance from the enemy of their souls. Dr. Cairns is drawing some important spiritual lessons regarding what God through Christ has accomplished for His people. The Passover signifies the salvation of Israel from the death which claimed the firstborn of Egypt. Then the passage through the Red Sea demonstrates God's power to keep His people from their enemies and from the world. Both the Passover and the passage of the Red Sea have their spiritual counterparts in the Lord's Supper and baptism. These are signs by which the believer's faith is strengthened and confirmed. It is imperative that these sacraments be kept properly, with careful attention to their spiritual significance, if they are to lead to the enjoyment of God's blessing. Now here's Dr. Cairns to continue this message called Salvation Signified and Sealed Through Faith.
In the circumcision of Jesus Christ, and circumcision and baptism in Colossians 2 are lined up as counterparts. In the circumcision of Jesus Christ, you have, in a fashion, God dealing with the flesh of all his people. And our baptism commemorates our oneness with Christ in that. And of course, at the Lord's table, we remember his death, his sacrifice, his propitiation of the wrath of God. We remember how he died and how he rose again. And thank God they are confirmatory signs. You see, the Westminster Confession of Faith and our Shorter Catechism very rightly, based on various passages of Scripture, notably Romans chapter 4, which I'm not going to get into, otherwise I'd be here until the cantata time and preach right through it. But they very wisely say that the sacraments are signs and seals. In other words, they not only signify, describe, and preach these spiritual truths, but they seal them, they confirm them. In other words, though they are not the spiritual reality in themselves, they are important. They are important. Let me run the risk of doing what I said I don't intend to do, and that's get away off and deal too much with these. But let's take baptism for a moment. As a church, we will not make an enemy of a man because of his view of baptism, so long as he doesn't believe in baptismal regeneration. For centuries, God's people have been divided among those who will baptize only adults upon profession of faith, and those who will baptize adults in profession of faith and their children, as in the covenant of grace. Neither side has convinced the other. And we don't believe it's our job to excommunicate those that we can't get to agree on that particular issue. But you know, whatever side of the issue you fall on, the act of baptism is vitally important. And if there are Christians here this morning and you are not baptized, and again, I'm not trying to lay down the law as to what side of the theological controversy you come down on, but if you're here this morning and you're wrong on everybody's scorecard, you're not baptized, my friend, you are omitting something that God has labeled as being mightily important. John Calvin rightly said that the marks of a true church are first the preaching of the Word of God, the administration of the sacraments, and the administration of discipline. And if you leave out the middle one of those, you cease to be part of a true church of God. Baptism is not salvation, but it's important. If you're an unbaptized Christian, you're an anomaly. You're something that the New Testament knows nothing about. Unbaptized Christians. The Bible knows nothing about that. That important. And of course it's equally true of the Lord's Supper. Mightily important. Listen to me very carefully. I don't suppose there's a preacher in Greenville who has castigated the blasphemy of the Roman Catholic Mass as often or as severely as I have. So I think I can say this. But with all that's wrong in the Church of Rome about the Mass, Yet there are Roman Catholics who show a greater reverence for their misinterpretation of Scripture here than most fundamental Bible-believing Christians do about the observance of the Lord's Supper. You go to your regular fundamentalist church, including this church. I'm not talking about other people. Including this church. You come to Communion Sabbath. What happens? The world and his brother says, well, I've got to leave after the service. I don't have time to observe the Lord's Supper. After all, I have this to do, and I have that to do, and I have the other thing to do. Man, it's time to stop temporizing and rationalizing sin. Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me. Do it in remembrance of me. There are Christians here who have not sat at the Lord's Supper in months. And that is sin. Do without anything. Do without your dinner. Do without your friends. Do without anything. But this is the feast of love. This is the remembrance of Christ. This is the place to which you are commanded to come. There are only two sacraments. One is a once and for all sacrament. The other is a continual sacrament. There is only one thing that the Lord commands that we continually do in remembrance of Him. And thousands of Christians are so rotten, worldly and carnal that they won't observe the Lord's Supper. There's no excuse for it. No excuse whatsoever. These are commemorative signs. We ought to remember Christ. And you'll find they are confirmatory signs because when you obey God in these things, faith is strengthened. I couldn't tell you the number of times people have come to me after a communion service and have said that the Lord met with me. Let me just, however, go a little further and say, even if your feeling is dulled and you have not felt peculiarly that the Lord met with you, yet the Lord will honor His word and will confirm the grace that He has given you in Christ. So there are two sacraments. How do you keep them? You keep them by faith, not by rote. I really, and again, after what I've said, you'll see the importance that I will attach to baptism and the Lord's Supper. But I despise the way most Christians and the way most preachers deal with baptism. I've had people come up and say, have you been done? Regarding the matter of baptism, have you been done? I've been done by many people on many occasions, but I wouldn't refer to baptism that way. A thoughtless, careless exercise without any spiritual implications, really. From the Baptist point of view, I would recommend you to read C.H. Spurgeon's testimony of how he was exercised to be baptized and how faith laid hold of the word and how it was a deep spiritual exercise when he went through the waters of that little English river and was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. From the Presbyterian point of view, you may read what some of the old Scotch divines, men like Robert Murray McShane, the Bonner brothers, how they viewed these things. And you'll see again, this was no empty rite or ceremony, but by faith in the covenant promise of God. You come to the Lord's table. Do you ever notice in most churches the communion table is a 5-minute P.S. at the end of the service? And it's rattled through at an ungodly rate of speed. After all, you can't keep people back from their lunch. You can blaspheme God right enough, but that's more not as important as burnt roast beef. So, got to let the people go and just rattle through. I have sat in fundamentalist churches, Bible-believing churches, and I'm going to be honest, I've sat in Free Presbyterian churches. When my heart told me to get up and walk out and not be a part of their communion service, the only reason I didn't would be because I felt my removal would be a bigger upset and would bring dishonor in the name of the Lord. You remember Christ by faith. And I want to tell you, God is never in a hurry. We have got our fast-paced life, and we have got everything else going as we want, and we want Almighty God to be a puppet on our string and say, well, now, Lord, we have so many minutes to give you at church, we have so many minutes to give you at prayer meeting, we have so many minutes to give you at the Lord's table, and oh God, you better jump. Well, I want to tell you, God doesn't jump to that kind of command. It's time for you and me to get our pace in line with the Lord's, and especially when we come around the Word of God and the table of the Lord. Take time that the revelation may beget faith within our hearts, and we remember Him looking beyond the sacramental sign of bread and wine to the great spiritual reality of the humanity and the bloodshedding of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You keep them by faith. And the third thing you'll notice is that faith leads the believer to the real enjoyment of the thing signified. That's the glorious thing. When you exercise faith in the matter of baptism, then your faith goes beyond the water, and your faith enjoys the thing that the water signifies. When you eat and drink at the Lord's table, and you do so by faith with your eyes on Christ, then you go beyond the mere signs and elements, and you enjoy the reality that's in Christ. You see, we have read that they were baptized unto Moses. In other words, there was the realization of a covenant union. That's what happens when faith takes hold of the Word. And that's why God has given us these sacraments. It was Augustine who referred to the sign of the sacrament as a sermon. A sacrament is a sermon without words. It speaks to the heart. It edifies the soul. It tells you of spiritual reality, and faith leads the believer to the enjoyment of that spiritual reality. Now, these sacraments, then, are vitally important. They are not the essence of salvation, but they are vitally connected to it.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.